查考那个圣经的应许跟应验。
Hallelujah, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we will study the fulfillment, the promise and fulfillment of the scriptures.
那我们今天下午来从亚伯拉罕一生里面，我们来看神的应许跟应验。
We shall look at the promises of God to Abraham and their fulfillment.
我们先来看创世纪二十一章。
Please turn to Genesis 21.
创世纪二十一章三十三节。
Genesis chapter 21 verse 33.
创世纪二十一章三十三节。
Genesis 21 verse 33.
亚伯拉罕在别示巴栽上一棵垂丝柳树。又在那里求告真神永生神的名，然后亚伯拉罕就在腓力士的那个地方寄居了许多日子。那二十二章第一节。
Chapter 22, verse 1.
这些事以后，神要试验亚伯拉罕，就是这些事，就是说二十二章以前的事情。
Sometime later refers to a period of time after.What happened in chapter 21?
亚伯拉罕的故事是从十一章的结尾开始，一直到二十一章，这是他神对他的应许跟应验的过程当中，这是神对他的训练。
Towards the end of chapter 21 and the whole chapter of 22 contain the promise and the testing from God.
你去上学或是修什么课，到最后都会是考试。
If we go to school or take a class, we have to take exams.
那你以前所学的，不晓得学好学不好，我们不知道。但最后这个考试如果考及格的话，那就及格了。
And whether you have learned well or not will be demonstrated in your exams. And if you pass the exam, you pass the class.
那创世纪二十二章，这是神对亚伯罕的考试。
In Genesis chapter 22, God gave Abraham a test.
在这之前是神对他训练。
And before that, God gave him a training.
神给我们人在一生里面，也可能有一个或是两个的考试。
In our lives, God may also give us one or two tests.
那这是你的人生的最高峰。
And that will be the climax of our life.
亚伯拉罕从神选召他一直到二十二章这里呢，这段都是神对他的一个训练。
Since God's calling of Abraham until chapter 22, God has been training him.
二十二章是神对他考试，考试及格的，那你一生也就结束了。
And chapter 22 records God's test to Abraham, and Abraham passed the test.
所以二十二章他考试及格，神给他发一个证书给他，说你是敬畏神的人。
So after chapter 22, after Abraham passed the test, God gave him a certificate saying that he was a God-fearing man.
其实这时候亚伯拉罕还不是离他要死之前还有好几十年，他还后来还生了好几个孩子。
But as a matter of fact, this was still a few decades away from Abraham's death.He actually gave birth to more children.
神给他功课已经，他已经修完了学分，所以考试及格，功课完毕就要回家了。所以二十三章呢，太太就死掉了；二十四章孩子结婚了；二十五章他自己死了。
Since he has finished his test from God, he is on his way home. Therefore, in chapter 23, his wife died. Chapter 24, his son got married, and in chapter 5, he himself died.
啊，其实我们看二十五章第一节呢，亚伯拉罕他太太死了之后，他又娶了太太，并且又生了好多的孩子。
In chapter 25, we read that after Sarah died, Abraham took another wife, and they had more children.
好，二十五章这里他生了六七个。
And he had.
那他活到一百七十五岁才死的啦。
About six or seven more children.And he lived until about 175.
那这些都不值得一提的事情。
But these are not worth much mentioning.
所以我们一生，我们每天讲很多话，我们每天做很多事情，吃喝睡觉这些，在神的记录里面可能没有记载吧。
So a lot of the things we say, and a lot of the comings and goings in our lives are probably not worth mentioning in God's record.
那亚伯拉罕神对他的应许跟应验的。 这个故事呢，也就是从第十二章一直到第二十一章。
The record of God's promise and fulfillment to Abraham is recorded in chapters 12 to 21.
那二十一章结束的时候，也就是说他学分修满了，这时候他就再喘口气。
The end of 21 marked the conclusion of Abraham's lesson, and he took a deep breath.
我们刚念到二十一章第三十三节说，亚伯拉罕在别是巴赛的一棵垂丝柳树。
In chapter 21, verse 33, we read that Abraham planted a tamarisk tree, and he called upon the name of the Lord.
那什么是垂丝柳树呢？
What is a tamarisk tree?
垂丝柳树是一种灌木丛。
A tamarisk tree is a shrub.
那这种树呢，很能够耐干旱，可以在石头地，也在可以那个地若是很苦很险的地方，很咸的很碱的地方，它能够生存下去。
It is able to endure a dry weather as well as a land of high salt content.
但是如果这种树呢，也可以在溪水的旁边或沼泽地。
This tree could also be planted by a body of water or in the marshes.
也就是说，无论你怎么干旱，怎么土地怎么再坏，再苦的咸的地，或是甚至在溪水畔好的土地，甚至在沼泽地，它都可以生存下去。
In other words, such type of tree can endure any environment, however harsh it might be.
它是终年常青的灌木。
It is an evergreen shrub.
那它的叶子当然像柳树一样是一丝一丝的。
Its leaves are like those of willows. They are long and tender.
在迦南地呢，是他们用来乘凉用的。
They in the land of Palestine or Canaan, they planted the tree to get shade from.
或是在垂丝柳树下，当作纪念，有时候坟墓那个就是国王的坟墓，有时候是盖在这个葬在这个垂丝柳树下面。
The tamarisk tree could also be a landmark. Sometimes the tombs of kings were by tamarisk trees.
撒母耳记上二十二章第六节那里记载，扫罗王出去要抓大卫的时候，半路上他累了，他就坐在垂丝柳树下休息一下。
In 1 Samuel chapter 22, we read that while Saul was chasing David, he grew tired and sat under a tamarisk tree.
那扫罗王到最后死了，他的尸首他的身体呢也被埋在一个垂丝柳树下面。
When Saul died, his body was buried under a tamarisk tree.
那我们看到这个亚伯拉罕呢，他在这里种了一棵垂丝柳树。
In chapter 21 here we read that Abraham planted a tamarisk tree.
就说他人生到这里当一个结束纪念了。
So it was a milestone in his life.
他那时候又想起神来。
He remembered the Lord God.
他在那里求告神的名。
And he called upon the name of the Lord.
那接下来就是神对他考试。
Then came the test from God.
那我们来看看神对亚伯拉罕的应许跟应许的应验。
Now let's look at the fulfillment of the promise to Abraham.
神的应许跟应验有时候是有时间空间的差别的。
God's promise and fulfillment may often be set apart by time or space.
有时候人是要等待的。
We often have to wait.
那有时候你跟小孩子说，你长大之后，爸爸买个表给你。
For example, you may say to your child, "When you grow up, I will buy you a watch."
隔天早上起来，小孩子好高兴，跟爸爸说，爸爸，我已经长大了。
And the next day, your kid gets up early in the morning and says, "Dad, I have grown up."
说奇怪，只有一个晚上你就长大了。
Then you ask, it's just overnight. How can you have grown up?
啊，对呀，好像很久了。
He said, I've been waiting for so long.
其实还没有，还要再等了，有时候要等好几年了。
But actually, he still has to wait for even many years.
因为他才三四岁而已啊。
Because he is still only 3 or 4 years old.
那神对我们的应许也是一样。
And the same goes with God's promise to us.
应许之后不是说明天就给你了。
We don't.Receive fulfillment a few days after the promise.
神的福气应许给我们，也不是说 今天应许你隔天晚上起来就有了。
The promise of God's blessings are not obtained overnight.
神有时候要训练，借着这个应许，然后要得到应验的这个当中过程呢，来训练我们。
God often wants to train us over the period between the promise and the fulfillment.
我们现在来看创世纪十二章。
Let us read Genesis chapter 12.
创世纪十二章第一节。
Genesis chapter 12 verse 1.
Chapter 12, verse 1.
We are familiar with this passage.
这时候主对亚伯兰说，你要离开本地本族父家，往我所要你指示你的地方去。第二节。
2.
我必叫你成为大国，我必赐福给你，叫你的名为大，你要叫别人得福。好，这是神对他的要求跟向他的应许。
This was God's requirement to Abraham and his promise to him.
我们知道这次的呼召是一个绝对性的、一个断根性的一次的呼召。
We know that this call was absolute and dramatic.
神要他完全的舍弃。
God wanted Abraham to put aside everything he had.
神要他离开本地。
God wanted him to leave his own country.
他本地，那他的地是他生长的根啊。
Where he had already rooted.
神要他断绝他生长的环境。
God wanted to be plucked out of his homeland.
神要让他离开本族。
God wanted him to leave his own people.
他的族是他的血缘的根。
His people were the source of his blood.
也是他历史的源流。
And it was the origin of his history.
神要让他断绝历史的源流跟他血缘的根。
God wanted to cut off such origin of history and blood.
神还要让他离开他的父家。
And finally, God wanted him to leave his father's house.
他的父家是他生命本身的根源。
Where he obtained his life.
神要让他断绝了生命的本体。
God wanted him to leave the origin of his life.
这个断绝并不是说只是环境的。
Such separation is not physical, environmental.
而是神要借着让他的断绝来训练他的绝对的依靠神，绝对的顺服。
God wants to use such separation to train Abraham to rely on God and submit to God completely.
你可能会想说，哎呀，那个乌尔是因为拜偶像的地方啦。
You may be thinking, God asked Abraham to leave Ur because Ur was a land of idolatry.
因为乌尔是在巴比伦之地，巴比伦那时候拜天上的众星宿，并且拜很多的自然的神。
Ur was located in Babylonia, where there was much idolatry of the heavenly bodies.
那神要让他离开那个恶劣的环境啊。
And we may think that God wanted him to leave that adverse religious environment.
其实你要想想，这样不对。
But if you think further, you will realize that that's not the case.
因为迦南地的拜偶像的程度不比巴比伦人的那个拜偶像的程度还低啊。
Because the people in Canaan probably were just as idolatrous as the Babylonians.
那时候迦南人也是凶恶的啊，那时候迦南人甚至杀自己的女儿来献祭，当作来拜神的这个崇拜啊。
The Canaanites were just as violent in their worship. They even sacrificed their own children to their gods.
所以这个你不可以把它说一个只是单纯的环境的改变而已啊。
So God's calling was not simply a change in Abraham's environment.
因为你离开乌尔来到迦南地，环境没有好啊，可能更坏。
It's because Abraham by going to Canaan did not change his religious environment.
就是在宗教的环境来讲，可能更坏啊。
It probably became even worse.
那以物质条件来讲，那又更糟糕了。
From a material perspective, Abraham was probably worse off in Canaan.
我们知道乌尔是在考古来讲的话，我们知道在亚伯罕那个时代已经有汉谟拉比法典，就是在那个时候已经相当文明的一个地方了。
From archaeology, we know that the Hammurabi tablets were already existent at Abraham's time in Ur. So we know that Ur was a very civilized place.
亚伯拉罕在乌尔的时候已经过着农业的生活了。
And at that time, Abraham had already become a farmer.
他现在来到迦南地是做什么?
But when he got to Canaan, what did he become?
他离开他的本地本族父家, 现在过着是一个流浪的牧羊人的生活啊。
Having left his country, his people, and his father's household, he now became a nomad.
我们可能牧羊人的故事听太多了。
We have heard many stories about nomads.
感觉他们好像 非常清高, 感觉他们好像非常 那个有很有诗意。
We may think that such life is very poetic and romantic.
其实呢, 牧羊人在当时是一个很卑贱的一种职业。
But in reality, being a nomad was a very harsh and greatly despised occupation.
在亚伯拉那时候，世界的文明就是巴比伦的文明，以及埃及人的文明。
The civilization of Abraham's time was the civilization of Babylonia and Egypt.
因为当时的文明在农业时代，进入到农业时代的是比较高文明的。
Because at that time, the countries that have participated in agriculture were the more civilized ones.
埃及人当时因为尼罗河的关系，所以文明也很高了，已经进入到那个农业时代了。
Because of the Nile River in Egypt, the Egyptians were very civilized. They were already farmers.
埃及人最讨厌希伯来人。So
the Egyptians hated the Hebrews.
为什么? 不是因为他们很会经商，也不是因为他们那个 犹太主义。
Why is it so? It's not because they were against the Jews for any reason.
我们看从创世纪43章第32节。
Please turn to Genesis 43, verse 42.
创世纪43章32节。
I'm sorry, chapter 43, verse 32.
32节。
43,
32. 这里是记载约瑟跟他的兄弟们相见。This
records of Joseph's meeting with his brothers.
这时候约瑟要请他弟兄们吃饭。He
set up dinner for his brothers.
那他们吃饭的情况是这样子的。This
is how their dinner went.
他那些仆人们就为那个约瑟，约瑟因为他宰相嘛，说一个人吃一桌。
Since Joseph was the prime minister, he had his own table.
没有竞争对象。
Nobody competed with him.
那为那些人呢，也摆了一桌。
He also set up another table for the other people.
那些人就是约瑟的10个弟兄们，他们一起吃饭。
Who were the 10 brothers of Joseph? They ate on one table.
然后呢，也为约瑟同吃饭的埃及人另摆一桌。
They also set up another table for those Egyptians who ate with Joseph.
那这些人呢是那个约瑟的，就是仆人们了哈。
And these were the servants of Joseph.
那为什么这些约瑟的仆人不愿意跟约瑟弟兄们一起吃饭呢？
Why didn't the servants eat with the brothers of Joseph?
因为那是埃及人所厌恶的。
It is because that was detestable to Egyptians.
埃及人当仆人的也不愿意跟那个希伯来人一起吃饭。
Even the Egyptian servants did not want to eat with the Hebrews.
吃饭是说你跟他有份，你跟他是交通，有团契。
Partaking meals together is a form of association and fellowship.
那为什么不愿意跟他们一起吃饭？
Why did they refuse to eat with the Hebrews?
我们看创世纪46章34节。
Let's read 46.
Verse 36. 34. Chapter 46, verse 34. 这是约瑟教他的哥哥们这样说了，说你们要，你们说你的仆人从幼年直到如今都在以养牲畜为业，连我们的祖宗也都以此为业，这样你们就可以在歌山地。那为什么呢？因为凡牧羊的都被埃及人所厌恶。
埃及人最讨厌牧羊人啊。The Egyptians detested
shepherds. This
is not a matter of racial discrimination.
而是这个职业的不同，社会地位的不同的一个互相的轻视。Rather,
this discrimination came from their difference in profession and social status.
一般的白领阶级也看蓝领阶级，好像虽然是说啊工作一样，但是 讲起话来还是比较酸酸的。
Usually people of the white color class would look down or speak harshly towards the blue color.
现在这么文明社会还是有这样的现象。
Even in such an advanced society, we still see this phenomenon.
在当时呢，更是这样子的、啊。他们已经进入到农业社会里面的那些埃及人，就是当仆人的，也是看清这些牧羊人。
So was the situation at that time. The Egyptians who were already farmers looked down upon the shepherds of the Hebrews.
所以亚伯拉罕的被召。
So Abraham's calling.
这是一个断根性的被呼召。
Was a very dramatic one.
他的环境没有说改善。
His environment did not improve.
他的社会地位反而更倒退了。
His social status declined.
文明的倒退，本来是住在美国的很好的，现在你搬到非洲一个落后地方去了。
His civilization also went backwards, as if you are going from America to Africa.
本来是活在农业社会里面的。
He used to live in the agricultural society.
现在变成到处为家，到处不是家的牧羊人。
Now he did not have a home to return to, but he wandered from place to place.
是被人家厌恶的牧羊人。
He became a shepherd despised by the Egyptians.
这个时候亚伯拉罕，神跟他说，你要离开。
God told Abraham to leave.
所以这个呼召并没有带来亚伯拉罕在物质上面或在宗教环境敬拜方面的什么好处。
This calling did not bring about any benefit to Abraham in terms of either religion or social environment.
但是我们看出来，亚伯拉罕受呼召之后完全的顺服。
But we can see that after the calling, Abraham submitted to God completely.
完全的相信。
He completely believed in God.
所以十二章我们再看他，神这样跟他一讲，他没有说，拜托神，怎么叫我出去呢？这里不是好的吗？
When God called Abraham, Abraham did not say to God, Why do you call me? Why do you leave my country? Am I doing fine here?
你既然是神的话，到处都可以拜你啊。
Since you are God, I can worship you anywhere.
那在乌尔也可以啊，为什么一定要到迦南地区呢？
I can worship you just as well in Ur, why in Canaan?
那在这里不是活得好了吗？种田也不错啊。
Am I not living a good life here as a farmer?
为什么要当一个被人家讨厌的牧羊人呢？
Why should I become a shepherd to be detested?
何况到了迦南地之后，迦南地当时的土著的那个罪恶也不下于这个巴比伦。
The people of Canaan were just as evil as the Babylonians.
十二章的第四节，创世纪。
Chapter 12, verse 4.
十二章四节
Genesis 12 verse 4
亚伯兰就照着主的吩咐去了，他没有讲一句但是，或是没有讲一句说为什么，他就神怎么讲他就怎么去了。
Abraham did not say a but or a why, he just went as the Lord commanded.
完全的顺服，完全的相信。
He obeyed completely and believed completely.
信心之父的信心表现在这里。
This is the faith of the father of our faith.
他晓得要走上去的这个路程，前面路程是很坎坷的，比他原来的更糟糕。
He knew that the way he was about to tread on was worse than what he has been through.
但是他相信神应许。
Yet he believed in God's promise.
神说要让他成为大国。
God promised him that he will become a great nation.
神要祝福他。
And that God will bless him.
他面对着这个困难，面对这个不晓得去哪里的绝望，或是对将来没有把握的，以人来看这样的一个模糊的情况，但是他靠着信心踏出了第一步。
Facing the adversity in the future, the obscurity and the hopelessness, Abraham took the first step.
他走了。
He left his country.
这就是他完全的信心。
This shows Abraham's faith.
我们受洗的时候，也常常每个人都有这种信心呢。
Oftentimes, when we are first baptized, we have that kind of faith.
我们晓得，我们信了之后，可能会遇到很多困难。
We know that after our belief, we may face many problems.
我们信了之后，就好像过红海之后，还要走很长的一段时间的那个旷野的生活。
After our conversion, it's just like passing through the Red Sea. We still have to lead a life in the wilderness.
但是我们还是毅然决然的受洗了。
However, our determination enabled us to be baptized.
我们毅然决然地断绝我们以前的环境，断绝我们以前的历史，断绝以前我们的生命本体。
We resolved to cut off ourselves from our history, from our origin of life and our old environment.
因为我们相信神的应许。
Because we believed in God's promise.
我们有好像亚伯拉罕这样开始的这种信心。
We had the faith of Abraham.
但是好的开始也要有好的训练。
But with such a good beginning, we still need a good training.
你不是这样一接受神的呼召马上就成功了，这是一个开始啊。
Your answer to God's calling is simply a beginning.
所以接下来就是神对他一个考验。
Now comes Abraham's test, God's test to Abraham.
亚伯拉罕神对他的考验也是应许，就是土地跟子孙。
God's test Abraham is in the form of his promise of son and land.
神说你要成为大国，一个国家已经有土地，已经有人民。
God said to him, you will become a great nation. Now, a nation must have people and land.
在旧约的祝福都是这样，祝福只是一个神给人的，就是一个应许，但是祝福之下一定有内容，祝福的内容一定是土地子孙。
Throughout the Old Testament, we can see that God's promise is always always contains people or land.
那土地就是指财富啦。
Now land may refer to material wealth.
那子孙就是他的那个子孙要像天上星地上沙那么多。
People refer to his descendants who will be as numerous as the stars in heaven andthe sun stands on the seashore.
现在亚伯拉罕靠着信心出来了。
Abraham left with faith.
断绝了过去了。
He cut off his past.
但是接着下来的也就是一步一步神的跟他对他的训练。
Afterwards, he had to be trained by God one step at a time.
他已经记得很清楚。
He remembered clearly.
神要赐给我土地。
That God will give him land.
所以他刚刚出来的时候他每到一个地方就在那里那个筑祭坛在那边献祭。
So when he left his country, he would build up an altar and sacrifice the Lord wherever he went.
你看第七节
Verse 7,
那个神像亚伯拉罕显现说我要把这个地赐给你的后裔，那亚伯拉罕就在那里为他显现的神筑了一座坛。这是第一次他筑坛啊。
This is the first building of an altar.
然后第八节
Verse 8,
他又搬了，从那里又搬到比较南的地方来了、
哦、He went further south,
到伯特利了，上面搭帐篷了。
And at Bethel, he pitched his tent.
在那里又筑了一座坛来求告神的名。
He built an altar to the Lord again and called on the name of the Lord.
那第九节
Verse 9,
他后来又搬又往南去了。
He went even further south.
所以他这时候他晓得这些地方可能神要赐给他。
He thought that God was about to give him these lands.
所以他就每个地方筑坛献祭做记号。
So wherever he went, he would build an altar to sacrifice as a landmark.
也是感谢啦。
But this was also a sign of his thanksgiving.
但是就在他感谢筑坛的时候，这个神的考验就来了。
But just when he was building his altars, God's test came to him.
最先的考验就是土地的考验。
The first test.Had to do with the land.
神对他土地的应许。
It was a test in God's promise of land.
他已经记在心里，记得牢牢的。但是呢，第十节说，那个地方遭遇饥荒。
Abraham remembered God's promise, yet in verse 10 it says that there was a famine in the land.
他可能会想，奇怪，神给我的这个地，应该是好的地方，怎么会遇到饥荒呢？
He was probably thinking, the land God'sgives me should be a good land. Why is there a famine?
并且这个饥荒是因为饥荒甚大，不是小饥荒，不是一年或是几个月可以挨过去的。
Besides, the famine was a great famine, not just a temporary one.
土地的应许应该是最直接也是最具体的。
The promise of land should have been the most concrete and real.
刚刚不久神才说要把这个地赐给他，怎么现在忽然来他也两次求坛、哦、竹坛求告，怎么忽然来一个饥荒呢？
God had just promised him land, and he had built two altars to the Lord. But now, why is there famine?
他可能会想, 我在乌尔那个地方从来没有遇到过这样的事情啊。
He was probably thinking, this had never happened to me while I was in the war.
神怎么会把我叫到这个饥荒的地方来呢?
Why did he call me to such a land?
这好像以色列人他们过黄海之后, 在黄海旁边啊, 他们抱怨啊, 为什么把我们带到这个地方来?
This is just like how the Israelites complained to the Lord after they crossed the Red Sea.
怎么神赐的地方竟然有大饥荒?
Why is this promised land filled with famine?
并且好像也是不可容忍的饥荒?
Why is the famine so great that I can't live here anymore?
对他来讲是不可理解的事实啊。
It was not something he could explain.
饥荒很大, 下一餐只能不晓得有没有着落还不知道了。
He had no idea where to get his next meal.
这是一个现实的问题啊。
This was a very real problem.
怎么办?
What did he do?
在这个时候我们看到信心之父的信心在动摇了。
Here we can see that the faith of the father of faith was shaken.
这时候记载说亚伯兰就下埃及去了。
Verse 11, he was about to enter Egypt.
他在这里可能一定会在想神啊怎么不只送我一条路呢?
Verse 10, Abraham went down to Egypt. He was probably thinking why God didn't show him a better way.
他在这时候也没有求问神啊。
He did not inquire of the Lord.
他有样就看样没样自己想咯。
He thought of his own way out.
用自己的能力去解决问题咯。
He relied on his own solutions.
因为在那个地方唯一不会饥荒的就是埃及，因为埃及的尼罗河每年都患难，每年都有丰收。Because
of the annual flooding of the Nile River and the abundant harvest, Egypt was a very wealthy land.
除非有特殊的情况，不然不会的。Unless
there was a special circumstance, Egypt was the most wealthy.
这时候亚伯拉罕信仰之父信心动摇。
Now Abraham, who is our father of faith, was shaken in his faith.
他想的办法也不是说完全堕落的。
This is not to say that his solution was corrupt.
他说他要在那里暂居了。
It tells us here that he planned to live there for a while.
因为 对他来说,
to him, that was the only way out.
他可能想说，是不是神叫我离开这个地方呢? 暂时到别的地方去躲一躲。
He might have thought that God intended for him to leave this country for a while.
神明明说要把这个地方赐给我。
God had promised him this land.
怎么又有饥荒?
But why was there a famine?
那可能神要叫我走吧。
He thought that if God wanted him to leave for a while.
他就自己想啊。
He was simply thinking by himself.
所以他不是完全堕落，而是他用自己的方式要来完成神的应许。
It doesn't mean that he was corrupt in his faith, but he tried to fulfill God's promise with his own methods.
他就在无奈当中妥协了。
So he made a compromise out of despair.
他说好吧，我去埃及。虽然埃及不好，埃及是神所不愿意百姓去的地方，但是我还是暂时去住一住吧。
So he decided to go down to Egypt temporarily despite the fact that that was not a land God desired.
不是我们所讲的嘛, 人在江湖身不由己啊, 不是我愿意这样子的啊, 环境逼我的。
Oftentimes we say that we do things because we have no choice.
那我不是永远住在那里, 暂时去一下而已啊。
Abraham was probably thinking that he would only stay there for a while.
所以这是一个妥协的信仰。
This is a compromised faith.
所以在妥协信仰里面，亚伯拉罕就下埃及了。
With such a compromised faith, Abraham went down to Egypt.
他也不是完全忘记神。
But he did not forget about God.
因为他不敢忘记这个是迦南地，是应许的地。
He did not forget that Canaan was the land of promise.
那现在要下埃及地去，心里又怕怕。
And he was a little afraid to go down to Egypt.
这样的信仰是很疲倦的。
Such faith could be very exhausting.
一方面他晓得这个迦南地才是真正应许地。
On the one hand, he knew that Canaan was the true promised land.
但是现在目前困难重重。
On the other hand, he was faced with all these problems.
那怎么办呢?
So what could he do?
暂时到埃及去。
He went down to Egypt temporarily.
埃及是神所做主的。
Egypt was a land cursed by God.
埃及是神不愿意百姓去的。
Egypt was a land that God did not want his people to live in.
所以他在应许地跟埃及地当中呢, 因为有这困难, 所以他就暂时过去埃及了。
Because of the difficulties, he decided to leave the promised land for a while to go down to Egypt.
这样的信仰之父的内心是一个很大的征战。
The heart of the father of faith was struggling.
神对我们的应许有说，我们也在神的应许跟那个应验当中， 因为客观环境的对我们的压力，我们在两难当中徘徊啊。
Oftentimes, while we are waiting for the fulfillment of God's promise to us, we struggle between the promise of God and finding our solutions.
亚伯拉罕头脑很聪明啊。
Abraham was a smart man.
他想想这埃及地可能不好。
He realized that Egypt was not a good place.
那又不得不下去。
But he really had no choice.
那里下去的人, 埃及人又很凶恶。
And the Egyptians were very violent.
那我下去可能没命了, 因为我太太太漂亮了。
He figured he would have had his head cut off because his wife was very beautiful.
在正常社会里面娶一个漂亮的太太是不错, 遇到这个像埃及人, 这样的一个环境里面也是一个痛苦的事情。
It may be good to have a beautiful wife, but if you were to live in Egypt at that time, it could be a disaster.
所以11节说他将近埃及。
In verse 11, as he was about to enter Egypt,
他一边走一边想了，已经想很多事情了啦。 想到他的将来，想到他的什么话，想到他太太，旁边这个太太怎么办？
He must have been thinking a lot on his way to Egypt, and finally he thought of his wife, Sarah.
他说跟他太太说。 如果我们下埃及之后，人家一定看你很漂亮。
He said, when we go down to Egypt, people must notice your beauty.
那12节啊。
Verse 12.
那埃及人看你漂亮，一定说，哦，这个人太太漂亮，要抢我的太太了。那抢我太太，已经把我杀死了。
Then the Egyptians will kill me because you are pretty.
那我好不容易为了要躲避这个灾，那个饥荒到埃及来，如果我被杀了，那我倒霉啊。那只好呢，就委屈你哈。
Now, if I came all the way down here to avoid famine and be killed in Egypt, then what's the point? So, can please help me here.
那如果我被杀了，那你活了，那这样对不起我嘛？那反而呢，让你被人家抓去当太太，那我活下来，这样也还不错。所以这种先生不嫁也算了。
Now, I don't want to be killed and and it's okay if you become somebody else's wife as long as I'm alive. Such a husband, you might as well not marry.
这亚伯拉罕心里有理亏啦，所以13节说，求你说哈，拜托拜托，在当时的社会求太太说，拜托你就这样说，说你说你是我妹妹哈。So
Abraham must have felt guilty. That's why in verse 13 he entreated his wife to help him spare his life.
不要生气哈，拜托你这样讲，说你是我妹妹，那我也可以平安，好，那使我因为你得平安，那我的命呢也因为你存活。所以亚伯兰这时候是遇到困难，连太太都可以不要的人，这样的人什么是信心之父呢
？He told her, "Just say you're my sister, so I will be treated well." He was even willing to give up his wife for his own life. And this is the state of his faith at that time.
人家说夫妻本是同林鸟，大难来时各自飞啊，这就是亚伯拉罕就是这样子。
Oftentimes, husband and wife separate, or because of disasters or difficulties, and this is what happened to Abraham.
还不是说各自飞哦，这是亚伯拉罕把他太太丢弃了。And
Abraham was the one who forsook his wife.
但是他是比较用无名的啦，用求的啦。But
he is more He's more courteous in that he entreated her.
本来神造人，夫妻是一体的，太太死你也应该死啊。
He was supposed to be the protector of his wife, and he should have died with his wife if he had to.
哦，你太太让人家抓去，那你倒落得清爽。
And he should not have tried to save his own life by paying the price of his wife.
这些事情都还没发生，亚伯兰只是把它先想好，所以这个人头脑很聪明的，先把它想好。Even
before anything had happened, Abraham already had everything planned out, so he was very smart.
他把什么事情都摆得好好的，想得清清楚楚。啊，真的下埃及真的发生了。
And just as he expected, this indeed happened.
14节，他们到亚伯兰到了埃及，埃及人看见那个他的太太真的很漂亮。
In verse 14, Abraham came to Egypt. The Egyptians saw that she was a very beautiful woman.
他们走在街上，大家一起看他，他亚伯兰这心里蹦蹦跳了。
As the man was staring at Sarah on the streets, Abraham's heart was probably beating very hard.
亚伯兰小的说：“不是看我，是看我太太啊。”
And Abraham realized that the man was looking at his wife.
那真的十五节，这个法老的这个臣宰看见他，就在法老面前夸奖了。那个妇人真的就被带进法老王宫里面，要当法老的太太。
And the servants of Pharaoh noticed her and recommended her to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh wanted to take her as his wife.
我们这位老兄亚伯兰可能说：“哎呦，感谢主哦，差点没命，这个小命一条捡回来啊。
”And Abraham was probably thinking, "Oh gosh, I just saved my life."
他想说：“哦，真的照我所想的是，可能旨意，神的旨意啊。”他会不会这样想呢？
He was probably thinking, oh, everything worked out just as I planned, so this must be God's will.
我们看十六节。
Verse 16.
那法老因为这妇人就厚待亚伯拉罕。那亚伯兰这个人也是很糟糕，他还感谢领受了。
Pharaoh treated Abraham well for her sake, and Abraham even accepted such a sign of gratitude.
人家说，亚伯兰就得了许多的牛羊骆驼公驴母驴仆婢，哇，得到好多东西啊！他也接下来了哦。
And Abraham acquired and accepted all these gifts from Pharaoh.
实在是无情无义啊！亚伯拉罕，我们说他信仰之父，在这个时候，如果他是信仰之父才怪呢。
So Abraham was very ungrateful to his wife. He could not have been called the father of faith at this point in his life.
在台湾以前，我91年回台湾去那个鹿港看那个什么文史博物馆里面。很有趣，里面有一张那个卖妻的那个卖妻契，就是他把自己太太卖掉了。
In 91, I went back to Taiwan, and in a museum, I read of a story about a man who sold his wife.
因为他没有钱了，然后又怎么了，然后他就把那个太太卖给别人。
Because
亚伯兰类似的这种行为呢
？He was very poor, so he sold his wife to someone else, and Abraham was doing something similar to that.
他得到很多的财产了。
He acquired much wealth.
这时候他可能他的心怎么想的，我们不知道了，没有写了。但是至少他收了这些财物了。
We don't know what he was thinking, but at least he received these gifts.
丢了自己的一体的这个太太，得了好多的财产。
He had given up his wife and thereby acquiring such wealth.
他这时候想说：“哦，刚好我还没下来就有这个计划，哦，可能他如果这时候说感谢神的话，应该主耶稣会打他屁股才对啊。”
And he probably thought that everything was working fine just as he planned.
但是那个历史不能继续这样下去啊，不然就没有救赎死了。
But had everything gone on as it was, then the history of redemption would have been different.
这时候神出手了。
And God intervened.
神在亚伯兰最软弱的时候，神降灾在法老的身上。你可能会像亚伯兰一样，一时呢，哇，你所想的完全都照你的计划进行了。
Everything you plan may work out just as you expected. And just like Abraham.
所以亚伯兰是想的好好的堕落。
Abraham declined in his faith even though he planned very well.
他想的好好的下埃及，下埃及的情况都照他想的一样，但是这带来以后很大的灾祸。
Even though everything happened just as Abraham had planned, he brought about a great disaster.
第一个，他因为下了埃及之后，他本来从老远带出来这个侄儿就跟他分开了。
And Lot separated from Abraham after this incident.
因为这个牛群羊群太多了，容不下了。
Because they had too much wealth and flocks, so they could not be together.
穷苦的时候可以一起生活了，那个有钱的时候就难了。
Well, times were lean, they were able to live together, but when they got rich, they could not.
所以从埃及上来之后，亚伯拉罕对土地的这个观念完全改变。
So after Abraham came back from Egypt, his concept about acquiring land was very different.
从这个之后，我们再看不到他因为土地的这个问题内心有冲突有征战。
After this point, we could see that Abraham had never had an internal conflict over the issue of land.
所以他的侄儿跟他争，就是争吵，就是为了土地的问题，他一点都不动心，说随便你选，哪里都你去哪里都可以。
So Abraham remained unmoved when his servants and the servants of Lot argued, and Abraham told Lot to choose any land he wanted.
所以十三章第十节，那个罗德就举目观看了。
In chapter 13, verse 10, Lot looked up.
这是每个人都会看的了。
Everyone would have done just like Lot.
只是罗德的看是他以他自己的私欲，以他自己的计划，以他自己的聪明来看。
But Lot looked up with a heart of desire and self-interest.
这时候的罗德患上了亚伯拉罕以前犯过的错误。
Lot here was making the same mistake as Abraham.
他看到那个约旦河的平原那么好。
He looked up and saw the whole plain of the Jordan.
他看到索多玛、俄摩拉好像伊甸园。
He saw Sodom and Gomorrah just like the Garden of Eden.
其实罗德心里也是很痛苦的。
Lot must have felt struggle in his heart.
因为他从小就被他的跟亚伯兰一起出来，太小的神应许地是在迦南地。
He had followed Abraham since his youth, and he knew very well that Canaan was the promised land of God.
但是索多玛、俄摩拉的引诱又是那么大。
But the temptations in Sodom and Gomorrah were so strong.
所以十二节里面说，那个亚伯兰住在迦南地，他不动都不动了，先学乖了。然后呢，那个罗德呢住在平原城邑，然后渐渐挪移帐篷了。
Verse 12, Abraham lived in the land of Canaan while Lot lived among the cities of the plain and pitched his tents near Sodom.
从他渐渐挪移当中，我们看他的心里是很疼痛的。
As he was gradually moving his tent toward Sodom, we could imagine that Lot's heart must be wrenching.
他渐渐的挪移，也看出他离不开这个应许地。
While he was gradually moving away from the land of Canaan, his heart did not want to go.
他的心里没有办法离开。
His heart was still in Canaan.
但是那个对面的那个索多玛、俄摩拉又是那么漂亮，那引力又那么大，所以是慢慢被抓，慢慢一点一点的。
But at the same time, the temptations of Sodom and Gomorrah was so strong that they pulled him, however gradual.
那他的渐渐的挪移也是一种错误的尝试，就是试一点点，哎，神没有打我啊，再过一点点也没有打我啊，所以慢慢的移，慢慢的说，哎，好像是神的旨意吧。
Such gradual move toward Sodom and Gomorrah was actually a test Lot gave to God, thinking that, well, since God is not punishing me when I move further away from Canaan, so I can do it one step at a time.
有一次一个家小孩子生日的时候买一个做一个蛋糕，奶油蛋糕啊。
I bought a birthday cake for my child.
小孩子跟他的朋友坐在那里看，哦，看得好想吃。
And the child and 是男的，
男的。
And his friends were by the cake, waiting to eat the cake.
然后看着那个鼻子都要快要连到那个奶油了。
They looked at the cake so closely that their nose almost touched it.
那大人说，还没有唱生日歌以前不能摸。
But the adult said, "Don't touch it until after you've." Sung happy birthday.
那这个命令很重啊，那小孩子也听在心里面。
And the kids listened to the parents.
但是那个山看起来颜色那么漂亮，看到鼻子就可能快要连上去了。
But the cake is so pretty, and his face is almost on the cake.
那他喜用看的啦，那他有一边看一边看大人，没有什么反应啊，越来越近啦、啊，那不小心就碰到了，碰到就 吃下去啦。
His face got closer and closer, and he stared at the parent. The parent wasn't looking, and nothing happened. And his nose touched the cake, and he ate a little bit of it.
这个试一下，那个试一下啦，每试一下都看看大人有没有讲什么了。大人就说：“好，看看你搞什么。”也就不理他了，故意不理他。哇，这个是那个是最后那个整个蛋糕还没有上生的蛋糕，弄得乱七八糟。
One after another, the friend and the boy started to to eat the cake, and the parents just stood there waiting for what their next action. And before they sang the birthday song, they already messed up the cake.
他看大人不讲什么，有几个比较皮的，干脆就抓吃了，还很小了，吃了。
And some of them started eating even.
但是刚开始的时候，心里是很挣扎的，看看大人，哎，是不会骂一声啊？啊，没有，再近一点，近一点，罗德就这样子，再近一点一点近的时候，心里是也是挣扎的。
But before all this had happened, they must be struggling in their heart, and this was what happened in Lot's heart. He was struggling.
他慢慢的迁移，感觉神都没有讲一句话啊。
But as he moved gradually toward Sodom and Gomorrah, God did not say anything to him.
也没有撞我一下，或是捏我一把，或打我个屁股啊，都没有。
God did not pinch him or beat him up.
最后干脆就搬到索多玛里面去了。
So finally, he moved right into Sodom.
那我们再看14节。
Verse 14.
罗德离别亚伯兰以后，神就对亚伯兰说：“你从你所在的地方举目向东西南北观看。” 这时候亚伯兰他本来不看的。
Abraham at first refused to look up.
神叫他看。
But God wanted him to lift up his eyes.
亚伯兰经过了这个埃及地这个教训之后，他对这个土地完全就说：“神到哪里都一样了。”他根本不看，反正我在应许地就是应许地，我不看东也不看西也不看南也不看北。
Having learned his lessons in Egypt, Abraham decided not to look around anymore. He just stayed simply in God's promised land.
他死心塌地的，就是在迦南地。
So he was firmly rooted in Canaan.
再怎么样，他都不离开。
He would never leave the land again.
但是神要让他举目观看。
But God told him to lift up his eyes and look around.
不是像他这么悲观的，只是低着眼睛看自己的脚，那个小地方。
God did not just want him to be so pessimistically looking at the little piece of land that his feet was occupying.
神叫他说，从你所在的地方。
God said to him, from the land that you see.
就是从应许的地。
From the land you are standing, or the land of promise.
从你所应许的地来看。
Lift up your eyes.
我们晓得罗德刚刚才看过而已啦。
We know that Lot had just lifted up his eyes.
这时候亚伯兰也看，同样的看。
And now Abraham too lifted up his eyes.
但是他们两个看是完全不一样的。
But they lifted up their eyes in a very different way.
罗德的看是肆意的看，是用自己眼光的看，是用自己小聪明来看。
Lot looked at Sodom and Gomorrah lustfully and with his own interest and wisdom.
这时候亚伯兰也是看。
Abraham also looked.
他的看是神叫他看。
But he looked because God told him to.
他是站在应许地看的。
He looked from the promised land.
他还是看东西南北，全部你要看什么都可以看，不是说不可以看。
He looked at every direction and he was allowed to do that.
并且神说，你说看到都给你。
And God said, wherever you set your eyes on, it will be yours.
并且神这样说，起来。
God told him to rise.
不只是看，也起来跑。
Not only was he to look, he was supposed to stand up and go around.
跑到自己都要给你。
And wherever he moved about,
他在那里就筑了一座坛，跟神说谢谢。
God will give him, and Abraham built an altar and gave thanks to the Lord.
所以神对我们的应许，有时候在到应验当中呢，有一段距离的。
So oftentimes there's a lapse of time between God's promise and fulfillment.
这段距离，你就要用信心，用站在应许地来看。
While we are in this period of time, we need to look at the fulfillment of the promise with an eye of faith.
在这段时间里面，你 不能用自己的小聪明下到埃及去啊！
We should not rely on our own wisdom and knowledge and go down to Egypt.
在埃及可能有暂时的舒服。
There could be temporary pleasure in Egypt.
但是是罪恶之地啊！
But Egypt is the land of sin.
应许地好像看起来有暂时的饥荒。
There may seem to be a temporary famine in the promised land.
但是神所应许的。
But it is nevertheless the promised land of God.